Welcome to the Presentation Podcast, episode 104. Here is another Design Studio conversation about presentation design and the business of presentation. Here are the show hosts, Troy Collar, Nolan Hames, and Sandra Johnson.
I'm Troy Collar from TLC Creative Services, Inc., based in Southern California.
Welcome to the Presentation Podcast. I'm Sandy Johnson with Presentation Wiz in Minneapolis, Minnesota.
And I'm Nolan Hames from Nolan Hames Creative in Montclair, New Jersey.
Hey guys, we got us together. It's actually a really nice day out here in Southern California, so I am just kind of feeling good. I'm going to actually go out for a walk in a little bit, take my dog out for a bit. So I'm kind of enjoying. I mean, what's happening is already the day's off to a good day for me. What's happening for you guys in studios and life and things?
Well, speaking of walks, I got a bike for my birthday, so I've been biking woo-hoo! A lot. It's such a cool bike.
What kind of bike?
Oh,
is it one of the new e-bikes?
It's an e-bike.
Yay! That's what Lori wants.
It's it's way more attractive than the e-bike that Best Buy gave me several years ago. It's nice and sleek. It's light. The battery is external versus the really expensive ones that have the battery internally. But it's beautiful. I have to say, I biked up the entire, if you know this, you don't, but it's the Stillwater Hill on Browns Creek Trail. It's an 8% incline for 4 miles.
So that's tough.
Yeah, but it's very, very gradual. So anyway, I didn't have to turn it on. I didn't turn the E part on.
Oh, that's saying a lot because there's a lot of extra weight. What color is it?
White.
Woohoo.
Yeah, it's beautiful. So anyway, but other than that, I've been working on templates, sales presentations like you wouldn't believe. And the book I was working on last year kind of came back because he was about to launch it right when COVID came out. And because he's talking about the future of technology, COVID has had an impact on that. So he has to rewrite some things. And so we're continuing to work on that. I participated in all of this in a fundraiser recently, Literacy Matters Foundation. What they're doing is working on widening the literacy gap, so which, you know, that's probably contributes to the state our world is in today. But anyway, it's just been, it went from spring to summer in 24 hours. It's awesome around here.
That is fantastic.
The weather has gotten much, much nicer here. I've been biking with my kids, but we've got this this trailer that I have to pull. So talk about extra weight. It's I'm pulling two almost three-year-olds uphills and down. But we're doing that. And we can, can't go out all afternoon. They've got about a 30-minute window before they start hitting each other.
Oh, that's funny.
But it's good.
Isn't yours a pull behind one where they're in the little
cart? Yeah, it's like
cart?
They're in their own cart. They just sit and don't have to do anything.
It's cute.
Last week was the Click Conference. It was my first all online conference, both as an attendee and a presenter. We'll talk much more about that, I'm sure. But that was all last week. And on top of that, and continuing this week, we just have tons of design projects coming in, a bunch of Rush projects, InDesign reports, my second COVID research report from two different clients. And we did all that in PowerPoint, made it because they basically said, we don't have time to do an official InDesign, you know, well-printed report. And I said, how about we do it in PowerPoint and it'll look the same? And we did. And so that,
I bet
we finished
it did. That's
that
awesome.
Yeah. Doing an animated explainer video on top. There's just a lot we're juggling these days.
We'll have to, I'll share mine if you share yours. So we're getting final client approval on one right now. So
I would love to see yours, Troy.
I guarantee yours is going to be a different element than mine.
Yes, we are subcontracting most of them on that. But
okay, no, well, so content wise, mine is, and you know what, I'll put in the show notes. I will find like a 20-second blip I can make public. Ours is a phenomenal internal campaign for a tech company, and it's on phishing. PHISHING, you know, phishing emails, you know, trying to get people. So they're, it's the IT security department of this large corporation, and it's literally animated fish, and they got this whole storyline. But I guess it's like a very, it's it's childlike, but it's so childlike that I think it'll grab the attention of everybody. But apparently they've got a print campaign. They've got an email campaign. I mean, this is like a big awareness thing for this company. So, and I'm sure yours is probably a little more.
Ironically, mine is on phishing, F-I-S-H-I-N-G.
No way.
No, it's not at all. But that would be fun.
Oh, I just fell into that. Okay, so we're recording this. We're recording this 1 week early because, and there's a good because, I am actually traveling for a presentation project.
Hey,
when so while you're listening to this, I'm actually at this is the first business travel in 3 months. Normally, I've been lucky to be 3 days in between trips. Anyways, I'm excited about a number of internal projects our design team's working on. I mean, we don't have as much client work, but you know, the volume went dramatically down. So, so we've been working on some really big stuff for our company. I'll have some announcements soon. That was a teaser. Okay, over in the world of news, presentation news, anything happening that we can call out? You know, I got one because I'm pretty excited about this because I live by PowerPoint and I'm designing it all day. Literally yesterday, I just got the Tools 2 update to version 8.2.1. You guys get it? You guys know what it is?
I did. I just tried installing it this morning. Actually, I'm having a little bit of trouble.
My favorite tool, the one we can't live without, is we get, you know, we do all these strung presentations, you know, nine presenters, nine doctors. And then we got to, you know, we make all the edits. So now we have the new master. We have to break them all apart at the end. Well, if you just delete the other slides, you leave in all the masters for the people you deleted. So if there's nine doctors and they each have their own template, you theoretically have nine master slides. Never works out that way. There's more like 20 or 30. One of my favorite tools in it is the remove unused masters. So, you know, we delete the slides.
Oh, I saw that.
Oh, yeah. We have a whole process for how we break things apart, and it's all based on tools too. So anything, what else is happening? What's newsworthy in the presentation industry?
Well, so, okay. What about modern presenter notes? Have you guys been able to play with that yet? Just and before you answer it, I guess to explain it.
Okay. What's going on.
They're, PowerPoint notes have been the same since the beginning of time. And more recently, Microsoft introduced a more robust notes area. And I have not had a chance to work with it at all. I'm currently in the old phase trying to deal with just basic issues. But I guess there's a backward compatibility issue and Microsoft is working on that. Is that, what do you guys know?
I believe so from the stuff I saw. I mean, if I was an illustrator, if I could actually like be a cartoonist, I would draw like a Stone Age guy, like chiseling or, you know, drawing on the paint wall. Like when you said it's been around forever, you're right. The notes area is so limited. And yeah, the modern, I think they're calling it modern presenter notes. Definitely going to have a lot more formatting features. But yeah, that's what I read is they actually were working on the backward compatibility story. So it's not being released yet to everyone. I think it got out to some. I wasn't one of them. But I think it's going to be, I'm looking forward to any improvement in that portion of the program. That's for sure. Certain.
I'm struggling right now. I always reformat the notes master for my clients. And what happens is I make the slide much smaller so that I have more room for notes text. When I do that, for whatever reason, I have to report this to Microsoft. When I hit, reapply notes master, the image always disappears. So that makes Steve Rinsberg's code that you can run to apply, reapply the Notes Master to all slides. It kills me because every single slide on the notes disappears.
Wait. What are you talking about from Steve? Because I have a huge notes formatting issue that keeps popping up. We don't create it. We send out a template or we get a template. When you go to print it, the note slide is basically a tall, thin, it's a little teeny thin strip. So it doesn't print anything. It like literally prints the top of where your slide is. It's a known bug within the Microsoft coding. But are you saying we go in and the only fix I know is to actually go into the XML and hand edit the XML to change the page size or basically the viewable size back? Are you saying there's an add-in that'll fix it?
No, that's different. What I'm doing you know how when you have a bunch, 25 slides, you have to go in to reapply layout on every single slide.
Oh,
Steve's code does that.
Got it. Yes.
Click. Yep.
Yep. I was hoping for something even more magical than me having to, and actually I didn't figure it out. Lori actually figured out how to, and she's code averse, but you know, the client gives us this deck and they're like, hey, the CEO needs to print this now. And so she actually figured out how to modify the XML by hand and change it back. Anyways, I guess that's kind of news. There's no fix to it that I know, but I know Microsoft's looking at it. Nolan, what's up?
Presenter Coach has arrived in its first non-web place, which interestingly enough is Android. I thought that was an interesting choice for them to release it there first. So it's still available online, and now the first non-online place is Android, but presumably it's going to come everywhere soon. And also with that, two new capabilities with it. It's now going to check for monotone pitch. So again, this is the as you're in presenter mode, or as you're presenting a presentation, you can trigger this and it will listen to you. So in addition to listening for things like non-inclusive or potentially offensive speech and your rate of speech, now it's going to listen for your tone. So if you're too monotone, it will tell you. And also speech refinement, which I believe is grammar. So it's going to listen to your grammar. Again, this is not what's on the screen on your slides, but actually how you are speaking. So I guess if you start throwing in lots of ain'ts and leaving prepositions at the ends of your sentences, then maybe it's going to pick those up. I have not
that
played with it.
That is awesome. Yeah, I want to just do that for the heck of it.
Well, that's the thing. You can use it without a presentation at all.
Interesting. Yeah. That's pretty cool. I think it's going to be a powerful tool as it continues to evolve. This is kind of like personal news. I wish I had the podcasts, like our podcast, Google Analytics in front of me, but I have this, I just got a report for the PowerPoint blog. So my blog, and so it has, so I'm reading through this little email I get, 33,000 clicks and 1.12 million impressions. So from last month, I know that's good. I just don't have a point of reference to how good it is. I'll see if I can find one on the podcast. You know, I bet it would be pretty low on the podcast in relative, because most people are just downloading this through their podcast app of choice, and they're not really going to the web page for it. But that just popped up in my email.
Awesome. How about you, Nolan?
Last one, Slideshow Sync, which we talked about in last episode or a couple.
Two episodes. Oh, such a cool feature. I'm sorry, Nolan. So what were you saying about Live Sync? It's a cool feature.
Well, now it's available for Mac Insiders and Win32. So, so play around with it. It still requires, as far as I know, OneDrive. They keep saying there's Dropbox Sync, but I just continue to have issues with OneDrive that I'm trying to fix with Microsoft.
You know, that's the beauty of Microsoft Teams. It's taking all the technology. You're really using SharePoint, OneDrive, sometimes OneNote, and other things, but you're doing it under this umbrella of Microsoft Teams. People don't realize how it's doing that. So I think more people are using OneDrive without even knowing they're using OneDrive. Well, hello there. I've got my cup of tea and I want to welcome you. Come on over, join us. We're just talking about presentation design stuff. I mean, literally, like any good conference. I'm talking to you, the people listening, not you, Nolan. The other person over there. People. Come on over, join us. Hey, like any good conference.
I don't know if you had guests in your studio.
That's kind. We do. We got everybody listening.
Yes.
Like any good conference or office water cooler conversation. Side note: we just got rid of our water cooler at the office and replaced it with an under sink filtration. So I don't know what we call it then. Hey, come join around the water
the
filter.
Yeah. Exactly.
We don't really have an outline for this episode. We're literally just hopping online with each other with a conversation starter. And here's our starter, because it's going to be easy to talk about. Nolan already alluded to it. He's going to be the star of the whole episode, but it's, how are the remote presentation meetings going? Because that's the type of world we're in right now. So let's jump right into the conversation with myself, Sandy, and Nolan.
All right, well, I'll jump in, because last week was all the Click, the Creative Pro Week conference run by the Creative Pro people. And it's Adobe centric. It was all week. It always has been. But as of a couple of years ago, as you know, they instituted a couple days of presentation material called the Click Conference. So Richard Goring, Julie Turberg, Mike Parkinson, Mark Heaps and Joel Simmons, a few other people were presenting alongside me. And so this is my first online conference, really, you know, sort of full, you know, retail conference as an attendee and as a speaker. I did four sessions, including a 2.5 hour one on PowerPoint 0 to 60. So yeah, it was a lot of work getting it all together. And I don't think I'm talking too out of
school. Hey, Sandy.
Yeah.
How long does it take Nolan to get to from 0 to 60? Apparently 2.5 hours.
Oh yeah. So this is the big question with online conferences, right? Whether you're going to pre-record all your sessions or go live with them. And I forget, Simulive, or I don't know. There's some
Simulive.
Simulive.
That's what I've been saying.
Yeah. And I don't think I'm talking out of school because I think everybody who attended the conference realized it by, you know, the second presentation. But we pre-recorded, not everybody, but most people, including me, pre-recorded the sessions. And then we would be on a live chat, and then we would go live to Q&A via Zoom. And there were a couple of hitches here and there. I think day one, some of the videos, the pre-recorded videos were low res, and then they fixed that. No. And then, there were a couple times where things didn't start at the top of the hour immediately, but, you know, kicked in a few minutes later. There were also, you know, one or two dead links here or there that people had to go to a different page. But I think for the most part, it actually worked pretty well. And as somebody pointed out, like, when was the last time you were at a live conference when there was not some sort of technical
glitch
issue? So,
right.
Yeah. So, I mean, things happen.
Not my event. Not Troy's,
of course. Mm-hmm. Not Troy's.
But don't you think people are more tolerant of that now?
Which live?
The remote thing, yeah.
The glitches?
Yeah, I mean, I think people in general are. And also, you know, with the Click Conference, everything is, or the Creative Pro Week, everything is recorded for late. You can access it for the next year. So, and a lot of people attended knowing they weren't going to come to the sessions. I think that's the thing. They said, I think David told us there were 700 registrants, which is huge. But again, some of those, they never intended to get on live. They're going to access the videos and the Q&A later and all the assets and resources. I think pretty much every presenter was on live while the video was playing. Now, some people participated in the Q&A for whatever reason. I guess I was still trying to act as though it was live. So I tended not to interact too much in the Q&A. Also, because I think, Sandy, I know this is your big bugaboo. Like, you don't want to split the focus. You don't want to have a separate, you know, tutorial going on in the Q&A while people are supposed to be watching your video. Mm-hmm. Right. So I do know that other people would jump in on the Q&A, which was very helpful. Like, you know, Julie like jumped in a couple times to answer a question while, you know, that somebody had, which was fantastic. So we all sort of have each other's backs. But then at the end, yes, we would all go live to a live Zoom Q&A. And there was still a chat window going on. So if people were more comfortable asking the question there, I can answer questions there. But a lot of people would let themselves be unmuted. Not too many people came on camera, although I was on camera, but they would. So that was really nice to get a voice asking a question, and then, you know, I could answer the question while sharing my screen. So that, and a lot of those Q&As went way longer than they were scheduled for. I was fine. You know, I hate ending Q&As when there's still questions being asked. So I'll stay on as long as I can. But I think it went really, really well. So it was all recorded, including my PowerPoint 0 to 60. And that, I just tell you just a little bit about that session in particular. It was the first time I'd ever really done something that long. And something that long, and also like a PowerPoint for beginners, which I think is what the request was. But what I did instead, I told people at the beginning, I said, this isn't really going to be 0 to 60. It's going to be like 30 to 60, because I don't want to waste time showing you how to import an image or apply a transition. Like, I know people watching know that stuff. This was a lot of the people were Adobe-centric people. And so I wanted to, and Mac as well, the majority of people were on the Mac. So I said, I want to show you my workflows. So I got to show people things that I've never taught before, things like how to set my Mac custom keyboard shortcuts, how I work with my own resource files to copy and paste things. And it was you know, how I interact with this Illustrator and PowerPoint and what I do to, you know, improve a photo, you know, within PowerPoint. And so it was really interesting for me, and really, I was really happy to basically share my workflows, which is a real sort of inside baseball type thing. So that was the focus of that.
Awesome. Well, Troy, you're kind of on the complete opposite. You've been producing.
And that's part of the reason I was unavailable, because I was actually literally backstage, which means either we have three areas now for backstage, but it means I was in my studio all week listening to other people present. So while you were watching the Click conference, we're literally the ones running the behind the scenes. Mm-hmm. And we're doing this for a lot of meetings right now, a lot of our clients, which is great because it's keeping us more busy, but it's actually production companies are calling up saying, hey, we don't have all the components together for these virtual meetings. Can you help out? Because you guys, you know, we've expanded our design services to include facilitating them. And yes, Andy, we're busy. And unfortunately, last week I was literally watching a computer screen full of other people presenting. I wasn't on camera. I was the one facilitating things in the background, mm-hmm. and running the slides like I always do. We have been for corporate speakers kind of advocating like, hey, we'll run the slides for you. It does a couple of things. One, it lets them focus on just being a presenter like they are on stage at an in-person event. And it also eliminates the bandwidth need. A lot of people just don't have they don't have good internet service, or they haven't thought about it as a need for the download and the upload. So we're actually taking away a lot of their bandwidth needs. They don't have to screen share or run their presentation in any way. We're doing that lift for them. So yeah, we're doing that.
Cool.
So what kind of conferences have you been working on?
A big part of our year typically is going around doing national sales meetings, trainings, award shows. Actually, while I'm in San Francisco, when this thing goes live, I'll be up in the Bay Area. We're doing an award show. So this is my seventh year, I believe, doing this award show, and they're doing it as a remote thing. And similar to, like you said, the Click guys, the two main MCs are actually in a studio. They're running the award show as usual. They've got a full stage. They are about 20 feet apart. It's a 30-foot stage. And there's, you know, separate, you know, full cameras, not webcams. These are real cameras going into real equipment and being real switched. But they've got their downstage monitors with all their notes. And then we're going to be injecting, you know, all the winners through their webcams and whatnot. So that's – this is a really, really cool award show, because – this group has really taken the, hey, here's what we've always done. How do we make it still amazing and dynamic for all these people that just can't get to the event? Because showing up at an award show is, for an attendee, is half of it's getting dressed up, having a great dinner, and being around everybody. Can't really do that when you're sitting in your living room watching this or wherever you're going to be. a lot of sales meetings, a lot of corporate, still all corporate meetings, a lot of presentation content, a lot of town hall type content. So nothing really out of the normal. It's just in a different arena now.
And what was that? Was last week, or that's coming up?
So this week, so as we're talking in real time, I literally leave tomorrow for this event, and I'm showing up with show computers, and I'm working in a backstage environment. So we're a week ahead. So while you're listening to this, people, I'm in San Francisco area and running an event. Last week it was all sales presentations. They're large corporate events where the sales teams are presenting to their key clients. Normally they fly those key clients to their corporate offices, and we run the events there kind of as the, you know, the show tech black people. You know, we're hiding in the back control room, and we're just making sure everything runs good for them so there are no technical glitches. See, you got to throw that in there. But now we're doing it through the internet. We're kind of facilitating. So those ones were actually done through Zoom, which is not my preferred platform for high-end professional looking events. But maybe we should talk more about that too.
And what kind of industry was it?
I won't say.
You can't say. Okay.
So are you guys a part of any remote or virtual meetings going on? I mean, obviously, Nolan, you're doing Click. Are you doing some? You're doing trainings remotely. And yeah, Sandy, do you have clients doing stuff remote?
Well, yes, I do. As a matter of fact, what I've been doing the last two times I've presented remotely, and one was last week, the one was a couple of weeks before, and I've got another one coming up, but it's launches. I've been able to convince my clients they need to make a big deal of introducing their templates and any new sales materials or presentations that are related to that, because so oftentimes they just kind of put it out there on their SharePoint site and say, oh, we've got a new template, use it. And there's no really, really buy-in to it. So what I've been doing is meeting with the clients' sales teams around the U.S. These last two have been totally U.S. and present the template, how to use it, present the sales presentation. Although what happens usually with the sales presentation is I have a client deliver it. So salespeople know how it should be presented. So that's been the bulk of it. I'm not doing regular training. It's as needed to launch the materials that I work on. How about you, Nolan?
That's cool.
I've got a webinar this afternoon. This is my presenting in a remote world that I'm doing. I think I'm trying something new. I'm trying to have walk-in music. That's each time I try to push the envelope a little bit farther. I'm sorry.
Footsteps of you walking on stage.
So I'm doing that, and then I've got webinars coming up, probably one a week at least, if not, you know, for the next couple of weeks. So we're doing a lot of those.
Wow.
And then meeting, you know, just meetings with clients. It's so funny these days. It's rare to have a phone call with a client. Mm-hmm. Now, when they, you know, you say send an invite, it's most likely going to be a Zoom, where, you know, before maybe that was half the time, and now it's like all the time. So I kind of want to remind people, because I don't always need to jump on a video call.
You know what, though? I do it default 100% of the time.
Really?
Yes.
Really?
And, yep. And every once in a while, a client will just call in. I'm on my computer. They're on their phone. No big deal. But
isn't that uncomfortable when you're the only one on video and they're not turning theirs on?
Oh, no. I just turn video on. I treat it like a telephone call.
Oh, you turn video on or off?
Yeah. Yes, exactly.
Is your video on or video off?
Oh, video is usually off.
Off. Oh, okay. Interesting.
So you're the uncomfortable person that Nolan's referring to.
Right. So if your client has the video on, what do you?
Then I put mine on.
Oh, we'll see.
Oh, okay. So you let them lead. They're leading.
Yes.
That's actually the better way to do it, to go to their comfort level.
Exactly. Yeah.
So with Zoom, when we're setting up all these conversation, not the sales meetings I was talking about, when a client calls me. So this is really funny. I got to start with this one. So Nolan, you said, or Sandy, you said, one of you just said, I prefer a phone call. It doesn't always have to be Zoom. I literally have a Zoom meeting after we're done here. And the client just emailed me, hey, could you call me for just like 3 minutes ahead of time? Like, it's just the two of us on Zoom. We could talk there.
So
I'm doing both, Nolan. I'm having a phone call and a Zoom meeting apparently, but I'm actually demoing a virtual meeting environment offering. But I've now set up our standard practice when we're setting up these Zoom meetings is we set it up so that they enter with microphone muted and camera off. Mm-hmm. And then we let them, well, obviously unmute isn't obvious, but if they turn on camera, we turn on camera. So much like Sandy just said, we let the client dictate the pace on that.
Very good.
Although I'm good with a conference call and I just don't seem to be doing any. You're right. They're all there. I hadn't really even thought about it. I'm like, you're right. I don't know the last time I've done a dial-in conference call. They're all done on Zoom or another platform. Well, I have a question about this whole remote, because you know everybody's got to present remote and everybody's working remote. What do you feel about I'm trying to figure out how to articulate this one. How about the balance of like PowerPoint? So this is in not a Zoom call conversation. This is like somebody presenting. How do you feel the balance of PowerPoint to like a general conversation is? Like, do you see PowerPoint being used more as a presentation support, visually supporting the presentation? Or do you see more of a conversation? Like, it's almost as if the professional level of things has been pushed down.
So relaxed. I guess
preemptively say, yeah exactly.
I mean, it totally depends on the situation. I mean, I've been on tons of calls with no visual slide whatsoever. And then, I mean, obviously like a webinar. I mean, to me, it's like either it's a meeting or it's a presentation. I haven't been in too many of those gray areas where I'm talking to my colleagues, like I'm collaborating with my colleagues by showing slides.
Okay, now I got to go back to the webcam thing. So, because like how you just said it, Sandy, everything's kind of toned down. Have you been on a professional presentation where everybody has their webcams on and somebody's, I'll just say, very casually dressed? They would probably never show up to the office like that, but yet they're now meeting with executives and they're, you know, in t-shirt and
hoodies.
Yeah, exactly. Like I mean, have you guys seen, I'm actually noticing a trend of things being downplayed. You know, the professional level of things has definitely decreased.
Absolutely. And I think that's still a little odd, and especially in some cases, that, yeah, I mean, just because you're at home doesn't mean you can have a sloppy background and why are you wearing a t-shirt? Like, you don't need to wear a suit and tie necessarily, but I've definitely seen that. And do you guys know about, I'm sorry, I'm going to take a tangent, but do you know about Room Raider on Twitter?
There it's Twitter, so I'm out.
I think it's at Room Raider, rates people's rooms on video conferences.
Funny.
Oh, that I've heard about, the background thing. Yeah. It rates people. Yes.
And it's funny. A family friend had got a 10 out of 10 the other day. She was it was perfect. And she used to be a TV, a talk show host, actually. I said, yeah, she knows what she's doing.
Awesome.
So what did she do? What's her background?
Well, it was just, I'll find it and send it to you. It was just like, there was a piano. There was this big French windows behind her and flowers to the right. And it just looked like a Oprah Winfrey interview set. It was just, everything was perfect and geometric and well lit perfectly. And she was dressed, you know, immaculately. It was, but cool. That's her thing.
See, that's what's missing. I really think that's needed.
Now on just, I mean, I'll share my in-process things. I recently got a green screen and I have not put it up because I'm still waiting on some hardware to actually install it on my ceiling. But I'm going to start playing around with that. And I've also started playing around with OBS. Do you guys know about this?
Oh, yeah.
So
yeah, it's on the Troy side.
Yeah. So have you, Troy, do you use OBS? And this stands for Open Broadcast System, I think. So.
Yeah, it basically is it's a virtual way of emulating a lot of the work that we do with switching and this and that. But OBS is a great virtual camera as well as a broadcast. So if you're going to live stream, it actually gives you a lot of analytics, and it actually does a lot. It's kind of a Swiss Army knife of everything. It does, before everybody gets really excited about it, as many people do, you'll find that it's a pretty resource heavy type of environment. So you could introduce lag and delay into your broadcasts because it's a very large, it's not very large. It can add to the overhead of the computer, but yeah. So what are you using it for? Are you using it for the green screening for the chromatic?
I'm playing with it now. What I want to start exploring something that I think have talked about in the past of putting myself in slides.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And doing more of that sort of news broadcast thing where you've got something.
So before you go there,
corner.
Nolan,
yep.
Are you doing this on your Mac or your Windows machine?
My Mac.
Okay. So just go look up Ecamm with two M's. That's probably where you're going to want to go.
Okay. I know that's been suggested before. OBS is open and it's free. Ecamm, I know is you pay for.
Yeah, but it's pretty dang cool.
Okay.
I'm not Mac based and I'm actually envious of it. How's that?
Okay. So it was recommended by Mark. Yeah.
We use a little more robust scenario, I would say. We're accomplishing everything you do in that, but we're actually using industry software and hardware. So we should probably talk hardware more another time, because I want to talk. Well, here's what I do want to talk about, though, because you're talking about, hey, putting yourself into the slides, that's creating a storytelling environment. What about storytelling? Are you guys seeing more or less emphasis on like the overall, having an overall story for each presenter? You know, as they present, are they literally, you know, doing the traditional, have an intro, have a middle, have an end, have a call to action, or are you seeing rambling. I'm not sure how to politely say this.
I haven't, not with mine. I'm not saying it's not great out there. I've been pretty lucky that way. My clients come to me to consult. We're the experts, and we get to tell them that they can't ramble. So
well, I'm not saying they don't have a good plan going into it. I'm saying it kind of devolves into rambling. Like, why?
Good point. I've so far so good for me.
I haven't seen anything too much different, better or worse than in the real world.
This is okay. Good. That's encouraging to me because I think I've been seeing a downward spiral of things. And it really is, disconcerting. I'm like, if this becomes a standard, I'm not sure I'm in the right industry anymore because all of my ideals are being downplayed in many, many areas. So, well, along the same line, what's the balance of, because Nolan, you said a lot of times you're just talking on camera. What's that balance of using PowerPoint visuals? And it doesn't have to be PowerPoint, anything screen share. So it could be Keynote. It could be beautiful AI. It could be anything you're going to present with. But how are you seeing PowerPoint visuals versus no visuals and presenters, just being on camera? Are you seeing, because anyways, what do you guys see? I want to
leave. Like a keynote without slides or a speech without slides.
Are you seeing this more or less in the remote environment?
Well, I don't know. I will give you this story. We designed a deck for a client who I've done work for in the past, and usually he's very spare with the slides. Just he'll put up like a book cover or a quote or something, like really nice, simple design. And he won't have many slides over the course of a presentation. It's mostly about him, and he'll just put up a couple things. So we started to do that style, and he sent me the whole script, and I said, Phil, we need more. Like, we need more visuals. Like, this isn't going to cut it. And he said, well, I plan on turning my slides off a lot. And I said, well, yeah, but then if you're in Zoom, you got to go and like unclick and then reclick, reshare. And I said, that's going to get a little tough for you. And I said, overall, I think you need more visuals. And he did a test with a bunch of his colleagues, and they said, Phil, you need more visuals. So, I mean, it all bore out. So we basically kind of doubled the amount of slides he had. I think you've just got to, if you're going to be using them, I feel, again, because it's harder to go in and out of slide, no slide. You've got to sort of go all in.
I'm going to clarify that. Yeah. In Zoom, it's fairly clunky.
Yes.
In other platforms. With other backends, that's what we're facilitating. Right. We're giving that seamless switching type of environment.
And that's one of the things I wanted to play around with OBS, for example, is you have these presets. So you can, with one click, and Troy, you may even know about this, the hardware, the Elgato hardware that gives you a physical... that you know what I'm talking about, right?
Yeah, I have a recommendation. The one I'm preferring, and I own a couple of them now, it actually is a lightning cable, so it's not using USB 3. It's kind of an upgrade. And Elgato hasn't surprisingly come out with one that I'm aware of. And then there's also the ATEM Mini, which I totally recommend, but it's a little bit higher price point, a little more complexity, but it has even more. Okay, see, I promised I wasn't going to talk hardware. I'm going to only talk presentation.
Most of our audience just got lost on that. But anyway, with some of these other higher-end softwares, you can, like, with one click, go to a preset view. And I know you
like
can
a
do
show.
That.
This is a show environment. Well, this is.
It's the slides have been a news analogy for me. They're simple. There's an image to convey it. There's a video to tell the story. There's a headline. Sometimes they do, it's just, I've always used that. But now what you're talking about, Nolan, you become the anchor. You're the anchor person.
Yeah,
that's awesome. To that point, though, have you tried Prezi Video? Have you played with that at all?
I have not. No, okay. I think we've mentioned that before. That's that's a way of putting yourself in your content.
Yep, it's still a little immature, I think, childish.
Okay,
it's in its development stage.
Yes, yes. Well, what were you going to say, Troy? I'm sorry, I was going to ask about good presentations then.
Well, let's talk about that.
Okay. I mean, are there any outstanding that you've seen recently other than yours, Nolan, and Julie's? And
Nolan kind of mentioned one with the news anchor and the piano, and I'm picturing like Celine Dion and, the perfect lighting. And
I think that was just an interview, but even that is worthwhile to see some, I know a lot, again, back to OBS or similar things, most probably all the news people working from home are using those setups. And some are getting, it was funny, like in the first couple of weeks, you could definitely tell things were clunky, and then everybody, you know, started getting technically better. And now, you know, there's some shows that I'm seeing on TV that I know are being recorded from home, and they look amazing.
Yeah, mm-hmm. There's a lot of things going. There's a lot out there, and that's kind of what we're doing. We're facilitating that a lot. But, you know, I've got the exact opposite. I just watched. Now, I didn't produce it. I wasn't involved with this. I just watched a finance guy go through a informational seminar. I'll just say it that way because it was a lot of content. White slide, big black text for each call out. And it was almost like bullet point for bullet point. He would just click and put it up there. I'm like, you know, this guy's just, you know, he's on camera. He was on camera like four times in an hour long talk. He opened it. He stopped in the middle to say, you know, here's what I'm really talking about. Did you guys get this? And then he went back to his literally white slide, black text, as boring as you get. And it was really compelling because I think this is where you're going with your Phil story. Things were changing on screen. So even if I wasn't really interested, I was like, oh, wait, it changed. I should probably go check that out again. Mm-hmm. And I mean, they were changing pretty rapidly because it was like, if it was a bulletless slide, which I would not endorse, he'd literally centered each bullet as text without a bullet and just the key phrase or the call out. So he did very good there. And it was constantly moving so he could keep his pace up. And I thought it was really compelling. So yeah, as far as a virtual or a remote presentation, it worked out really good. Now, if it would have been in a ballroom with, you know, a full staging and a lot of environment, it would have been kind of bland, like, ooh, this guy has no, you know, he didn't really invest a lot into this. He's, you know, really got a good message, but he should, and in this environment, it worked. I mean, I was really impressed. So yes, have you seen something that impressed you? That impressed me. And what caught me is that it was as simple as it could get visually.
You know, there's a pastor at a church I go to, and he presents the same way. It's like a main headline, a key thought per slide. And as a designer, I first looked at it going, well, he's breaking a lot of rules here. You know, these are just like glorified bullet points, but they're not. It is so effective. You listen, they don't take away from him as he's doing his sermon or whatever he's doing. They really, really support him. So I call those big statement slides. I make layouts for them in my presentation templates. I think they're awesome. But what you're talking about, Troy, is the entire presentation is delivered that way.
He was pretty much reading the presentation, but it was just one phrase after another. Now, they were kind of, you know, simplified phrases, but it was pretty much just reading the presentation. But it turned out to be a compelling thing. And I think it's because there was movement, because so many times, to what you were saying, Nolan, you know, people put the slide up there and they talk to it. If they talk to it for longer than 30 seconds, it's probably been up there too long. And this was movement every 5 to 8 seconds at least. And it made a big contrast or a stark contrast to what everybody else has been doing.
Cool. So you made me think of something when you talked about every 5 second motion that can sometimes create some technical glitches. You know, the user doesn't see the slide moving or it gets hung up. But so have you, either of you witnessed any, what would be good presentations, they just didn't make it because of technical issues, you know, bad audio, lighting.
Yeah. My biggest pet peeve these days are laptops that are pointing up at people so severely. Mm. And
so they're looking down at them.
Well, yeah, I'm looking. Yeah. I mean, yeah. And all you're seeing is like the people's nose hair and ceiling. Like if I'm seeing your ceiling, yes, that's an indication that your laptop you need to put it on some books or on a box or something.
Well, in a recent presentation, Nolan, you gave, I loved where you had a diagram of where your eyes should be in the screen. What was that? Was that a Guild presentation or another presentation?
I think that was for Microsoft. That's the one I'm giving.
Oh, Microsoft.
That's
there
the one I'm
go.
Giving in a couple of hours again.
Okay.
Yeah. Ah, oh, we got to get you off the phone here, sir. Get off the... I've seen a lot with just bad lighting, and it just makes the person look so washed out, or it's, you know, personal pet peeve is you have to use an external webcam and you have to use a real microphone, not the laptop one, because there is an echo going into it. Now there's noise canceling and other things that are supposed to happen. There is a distinct difference between what we're using now and what a laptop would produce for a podcast. The same ideas there. I really encourage people, do an audit. We're actually providing this as a service. We audit all of the presenters at a conference now. We get them online and we record it. And then we send them a note saying, here's your video. Here's what we've noticed. Here's what we'd recommend. Or we'll stop them and say, hey, you know, that light behind you. And I have a horrible, I love my desk environment, but I have a window right behind me, which I like because when I'm working, I can kind of swivel my chair and I look outside and get a little inspiration. But when I'm looking at the computer, I'm not distracted with the outside. Well, for being on webcam, it's horrible. I've got this huge backlight behind me, so all you see is a silhouette or the camera constantly trying to figure out where I am. And, you know, it goes light, dark, light, dark. So yeah, I'm the bad technical person with my from my home office. I've got bad setup and I'm correcting it. But, you know, people need to, oh my gosh. Or how about bad frame? How about camera framing? Nolan, have you seen it where their camera, their laptop's pointing up, but they lean back. So suddenly it's like you can see the top of their head.
Yep.
You know, but they're still talking. It's like, wait, this is like a bad cartoon happening in front of me.
No, we're seeing a lot. But again, I do think people are stepping it up. You know, you're just seeing more of it. So you're, you know, if you see so yeah. much of it, you know, there's a lot of it's going to, you know, be problematic. But yeah, no, I'm seeing a lot of good stuff getting better.
Hey, before we go to before we wrap up, I should say, I here's one. Because Nolan, you were a part of the Click conference. What's your opinion of staring at a computer monitor all day, being part of remote meetings, or as opposed to staring at your computer all day and doing work?
It's tough. Now I'm probably not doing quite as many meetings as you are. I'm still staring at my computer screen constantly, but I found for whatever reason, my eyes have been getting tired, more tired, you know, in the last month. Now, granted, I'm dealing with a lot of other stresses as we all are on top of it, but, you got to get up and move. I think more so than just my eyes, just my whole body feels mm-hmm. like I need to move. I need to move more at the end of a meeting. What about you, Sandy?
Oh, I am physically drained by the end of the day. If I have more than 3 calls, and that's about all I can take. Remote meetings, staring at each other, monitoring my eyes. I really started to get strained more so than they have in the past.
Optometrist. No, we need an optometrist podcast to tell us what's happening.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. How about you, Nolan? I'm sorry, yeah. Troy. I'm sorry. How about you, Troy?
I sit in front of the computer all day long and I've been great with it for years and years and years. In the past 2 months, I have been more drained at the end of the day than I normally am. And I'm like, wait, I'm working in my home office. I can go downstairs. I can do this and that. But, you know, maybe I've been trying to think this through. It's not that you're just working. I can't have music in the background. I also can't have conversations going on. So maybe it's that I'm staring at the screen. And I'm also listening. So now I'm using up multiple senses are very focused on something for a very long duration. And I'm finding myself more drained than I used to be when I used to be backstage in conferences for, you know, 10, 12 hour days. Now after 7-8 hours, I'm just done.
7-8 hours. That's a killer.
it is. Hey, I'm going to wrap us up here. We've got, we're going to stick with us, folks. We're going to do a little pro and tech tips. We'll do a little sign offs and it'll all be fun. But, you know, I just want to say, hey, thanks for coming and joining us. We like talking presentation stuff. We'll probably talk more geeky, actual slide designy stuff next time. But I think this is, the world we're in and we decided to talk about it. So, hey, I appreciate everybody joining us and, let everybody else know about us because there's plenty of, well, everybody needs distractions and hopefully we're a good distraction that keeps people in the zone of their industry. We'll talk to you soon.
Well, let me start because I'm excited. I have two that I want to talk about today. First of all, I mentioned the last couple of weeks episodes that I purchased the Microsoft Surface earbuds and I love them.
Oh, they've arrived.
They have arrived. They look awesome. They look awesome. They remind me of ear discs, you know, when people wear their ear discs in their earlobes. That's kind
of my goodness. Like. Really? Is that what those are called? Okay. I'm not trendy enough to know. Okay.
I'm being sarcastic, but they look good. They really, really look nice in your ear. The sound, I think, is really good. They have 8 hours battery life or feet, you know, playback life. So I can wear them all day if I want. Technically, I should be able to hop off of my phone onto my computer. That step maybe works, but once I'm on my computer going between the different online programs, you know, go to meeting, Teams, all that, it's a nightmare. I'm getting, making sure it's consistently.
So are you working. Using them? You're not using them right now for the podcast, are you?
No, but I might. Okay. I
you
might.
Could. Yeah. Oh, we have to give that a try.
I do want to give it a try, especially if we go visual.
Yeah.
Yeah. He says, okay, but so I really do like them. The battery life is great. The operating them for answering calls, hanging up. I can even access Cortana.
Are they, their voice, that's what I was just saying, they're voice command oriented, right?
Exactly. Yep. And I can use them on PowerPoint. I gave that a try. When you're in slideshow view, you can advance and go back. I don't know why you would want to do that.
Yeah, it's void like next slide. I don't know how this.
It's like next slide. You just swipe on your left ear. You swipe forward.
Oh,
and
it's
your slide advances, and you swipe backward, and your slide goes back. So it's cool. What,
could you like nod your head to the left to go forward and to the right to go back?
That would be funny. That'd be really funny. But I just, you know, think about, to me, the most logical place to use it would be as if you were on stage. Where you normally would have a remote, you replace it with the Surface earbud, but you have to be by your computer. You have to be in a place where it picks up the.
Oh yeah, 30 you know? Feet Bluetooth.
Yeah, it doesn't make any sense. Huh. So anyway, that I love them, and I really am glad I got them. I love going on walks with them. The next one is kind of geeky. You know, we all use different file sharing platforms depending on what our clients use. I am primarily, my business is on OneDrive, and I have problems with OneDrive for Business, but there's so much potential that I keep trying at, you know, to use it over with my clients on Teams and that sort of thing. But what for those clients that aren't on Teams, for example, Dropbox, I can, because I sync Dropbox on my computer just like I do OneDrive with the cloud, I make shortcuts of Dropbox for my client sharing files, and I put that shortcut in my OneDrive file, my work file, so that I can access it without flipping all over the place directly from my OneDrive.
Oh, that's brilliant.
It really saves a lot of time.
So it's not for the client, not for you to send files to the client through OneDrive. It's so that when you're in your work environment, you can open up the client's OneDrive. That is a...
their Dropbox that we're sharing. Exactly.
That's smart. I'm thinking this through. That's a great idea.
Yeah, try it. I've really had a lot of luck with it. So Troy, what about you? What are your...
So my tech tip, and So this is pretty funny. I'm going to say my tech tip this week is Apple AirPods. They've been around for a while, and it's not the new ones. Nolan, I think you have... No, it was Cliff that had the noise-canceling ones. I've kind of been adverse to them. I don't like the aesthetics of them. I just have never seen the thing, and I may have mentioned this before. So last month when I started doing a series of these meetings, I was actually monitoring a behind-the-scenes group through my phone, and I was monitoring the meetings through another one, and I just ran out and bought AirPods. It's like, okay, this is silly. I want something really lightweight and, you know, wireless and this and that. I'm really impressed. I mean, the AirPods last a long time, not nearly as long as I would like them to be honest. But the sound quality and just the interface, and that's what it's really all about. Everything Apple, they just work. I am so impressed with how well they just work. It's almost a magical thing. And I'm saying that from somebody who uses all kinds of geeky things all the time. So I have, and Lori just pointed this out to me the other day. She's like, you do realize like you're the person that didn't want these. And by the way, after I bought mine, she got on a meeting. I ran out to Costco while she was on the meeting and bought her AirPods and gave them to her because I felt really bad that I had them and she wanted them. And I just kind of was adverse. So she never bought them. So I got her some too. So anyways, I am endorsing them as a great tool for using for monitoring meetings. Now I have not actually talked across like a Zoom meeting or a live presentation, but maybe I should try that. But I'm using it to monitor the back channel, the AV line, if you will. And I got to say, I still don't totally like the idea of a little white thing dangling out of my ear, but I'm so impressed with the quality and the setup and just the functionality.
I used to have the AirPods. Now I have AirPods Pro. I mean, I still have my old AirPods. One of the things I actually like, I mean, the AirPod Pros are amazing. One of the things I do like on the regular AirPods is you tap to bring things on and off. With the AirPods Pro, you have to squeeze. Mm-hmm. So it's just, you know, right. In this day and age, it's like, oh, I got to do all that work. I got to squeeze.
That's funny.
But yeah, they're both, everything is quite, it's quite a product.
I gave my AirPod Pros to my husband. I, you know, have trying both. The Microsoft earbuds do not have noise canceling, so I do miss that. But I like the fit of the Microsoft product, the Surface product, better.
And I've heard, especially the Pros are a little bigger. Some people like the fit and don't. I don't have them, so I don't know experience, but I'm just impressed with the technology and how well it works. But Nolan, I haven't actually tapped them or touched them or anything else. I just literally put them in and out. So I guess I need to get more advanced on it. Pro and tech tip, Nolan?
Yeah, quick one, Microsoft Forms.
Really?
Yeah, I know. And
you geek, you.
What?
I called you a geek.
What are you using it for?
For all sorts of things. I use it for when I was doing my trainings. I would do it for pre and post surveys quick, ratings and things like that. Now I've been using it for I just feel like I run to it every so often. Like I was on a conference at Click, and I wanted to quickly know who was on Macs and who was on PC. So I just made a quick, Microsoft Forms question. You know, took me like 30 seconds, got the URL, sent it out, people clicked it, and then like I just had the results immediately in a nice little pie chart. It's really simple to use. It is not as full-featured as like SurveyMonkey or whatever, but it's free if you have Office 365. So I'm 99% sure of that.
So you were using it for like surveys and feedback. It wasn't like fill in this form to register for the event.
No. I use Zoom registration for that. But so I basically use it for the surveys, questionnaires, things like that, just to get some quick information back. And it's just really easy to use. It's very stripped down and very simple. So check it out. And it's not really promoted. Like people don't know about it, but it's there.
And how do you get to, do you log into your Office 365 account and go find it there? Or?
Yeah. Honestly, just like type in Microsoft Forms and then it'll go to a page and then it'll say sign in with your Microsoft account. And there it is.
Okay. Yeah. We've used them. I think it's kind of like a mislabeled element because it's always used for surveys. It's really a simplified survey.
Yeah. You're right. It's not. It's not.
It's not a form.
Yeah. It's not like an Acrobat form.
Exactly. But we've used them internally. But I've never actually. That's a great idea. Just to be able to. I wonder if you could actually put the. Did you put the link? Like, if you're in a Zoom meeting, did you throw the link in the chat window of Zoom?
Yeah.
Really.
And I have it. You know, I have it linked from my page. I'll have like presentyourstory.com/survey, and people go there. It'll auto redirect to a forms Q&A or survey.
Hey guys, thanks for hopping online this morning. I appreciate you guys being able to a few days early, and I really had fun conversing. We'll get this packaged up. Everybody out there listening, thank you for joining us for another time of conversation. Hey, this is Troy from TLC Creative Services. We're a professional presentation design agency. Check us out at tlccreative.com. We have a pretty active blog, the PowerPoint blog. And ironically, we're posting pictures on Facebook.com/TLC Creative Services of all this work that we used to do just to kind of make ourselves feel good and show people what the world was like when you could travel and do conferences.
Oh, you're funny. This is Sandy Johnson with Presentation Whiz. You can visit my website and blog at presentationwhiz.biz or the Presentation Guild at presentationguild.org. I'm also on LinkedIn as Sandra Johnson, PowerPoint MVP, and I'm on Twitter as @PPTWiz.
And I'm Nolan from Nolan Hames Creative. Check out my blog, presentyourstory.com, where you can get lots of goodies and downloads. And if you're interested in online training, give us a call.
Also through the podcast website, you can contact us with episode suggestions, comments, or questions for the hosts. It would be great if you to mention us, leave a review, and subscribe on iTunes, Google Play, or Spotify. And please, let other designers know about us. The Presentation Podcast is produced by TLC Creative Services Incorporated. New episodes release on the first and third Tuesday of each month.